Father, thank you so much for this day, for this Sunday, the first Sunday of 2021. God, how grateful we are that you have sustained us. You've carried us through one of the most challenging and unique years of many of our lives. And God, we know that there were peaks, there were many valleys, but you are a good God. And the songs that we just sang gave you honor and glory for who you are, Lord. And we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you that our eyes and hearts have been opened to your truth. And I pray all here this morning have a relationship with you. I pray all that have surrendered their hearts and their lives to you, Lord, that they would call themselves Christians. And as we get into Romans chapter 2, I pray, God, that you would teach us the important things about being a Christian, the things that we really need to invest in, the things that we need to pay attention to. For there's a lost world out there that's looking at the church, and I believe in these days looking for answers. And God, you've given us those answers. You are seated on your throne, you are in control, and we can trust you. And for that reason, we come this morning to put our trust in you for 2021, all that you will do, Lord, in us, and again, and through us. So equip us. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who believe that we are never alone, that you are always there with us. So as we study your word, teach us, Lord, that we'll be more and more like you and that we'll rightly represent you on this earth until you return for us. To you be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. A major problem in the world today is religion. And when I say that word religion, it may challenge all of us, the definition of what religion really means. You know, does it mean being committed to something? It certainly does. Does it mean trusting in something? Absolutely it does. So religion today can be a good thing or it can really be a bad thing. For some, they look at religion and don't want anything to do with God because of the way the believers act and the way we live our lives. Maybe looking down our noses at them like we're superior to them or we're better than them. When reality is, we're saved by the grace of Jesus. We're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed. So we, of all people, should be the ones that represent Christ in such a way that it's not our religion, but it's our what? Our relationship to God through Jesus. And that's what I want us to think about as we enter into 2021. Is our relationship with God what people see? Or is it our religion? Is it our religiosity? Is it our legalism, our theology, our things that we think, or the way we expect people to live? I think religion should challenge us to be better as believers. But it's our relationship to Christ that keeps us humble. It's our relationship to God that instructs us in truth. And his word teaches us that. And that's what we're going to be looking at in Romans chapter 2, the second half. The first half of Romans, and even through the first chapter, he's been dealing with those who don't believe in God. He's been believing in those that reject the truth of who God is. But now, this second half of chapter 2, he's going to address those who are supposed to be his followers, especially his people, the Jews. And as we look at this text and as we look at the challenges that the Apostle Paul gives to the Jews, it should be an opportunity for us to look at our lives and say, are we living in any way like they were? Are we responding to this lost world in any way as they were? You know, the Pharisees, the religious. And so it should be a challenge for all of us to say, Lord, help me to be a powerful witness for you. Let me live this Christian life so that people long for a relationship with you. You know, if we think about people's relationships with their spouse, hopefully unmarried people look at married people and say, man, I want that. Or maybe successful business people. If you're in school and you're looking at someone who's successful in their business, do you look up to them and challenge yourself to be more like them? Well, that's what we should be as the church. We should be a group of people that love each other, that love God, and love the lost. Because that's the only way they're going to enter the doors of the church. That's the only way we're going to be able to bring them into the family of God, is that they see the joy that we have in a relationship with Christ. So I want you to think about your relationship. Again, not all the legalistic stuff, not the religious stuff, not the things that we do as Christians because we're saved, but the things that we do because of what God is showing us in our relationship with Him. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. Are we trusting in religion, or are we trusting in Jesus? That's the title for today's message, Trusting in Jesus. And I think it's a great message for us to start 2021. Am I trusting in Jesus? How many in this room look back at 2020 and say, I was trusting in Jesus? Right? So many of us, we had to. What other choice did we have but to trust in Jesus? And let's not let that stop. Let that continue through 2020. And if you didn't trust, if you were worried, if you were fearful through 2020, now's the time to really trust in the Lord. Because, again, as I've been saying this whole time, He is faithful. And He is the one that we can trust. So look with me in verse 17, and we'll read through verse 24. It says, verse 17, indeed you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know His will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Don't forget, he's speaking this and writing this to the Jews in Rome. And for them to hear these words, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, that must have cut really deep into their hearts. Because they were the chosen people, right? They still are God's chosen people. Don't forget that. God, they're the apple of God's eye. They're His chosen people to be what? To be an example to the world. That's what the Jews were supposed to be and should be. And I believe continue to be, because God's favor is with them. And we'll see them coming to Christ as His return gets closer and closer. But now as the church, we are the ones that are His chosen people. Certainly salvation is a wonderful benefit of giving your life to Christ. But another wonderful benefit is leading others to the Lord. I'm so thankful for the people in my life that took the time to guide me and direct me upon that path of righteousness. We should all be very thankful for the people that God put in our lives to help us come to that place where we surrender to Christ. But here we see Paul dealing with their religion. And I'm going to say it this way. We should lose our religion. We should lose our religion, because if our religion causes others to stumble, then how sad it is for us. Our religion, our relationship to God, should be something that people crave to see, to witness, to watch. And people are watching, my friends. If you truly proclaim to be a Christian, if you try to live for the Lord, people are going to watch. They're going to see how you deal with things. They're going to see how you dealt with the pandemic. They're going to see how you're dealing with this new year. They're going to see how you're trusting in whatever it is you're trusting in. People are watching. So we need to lose our religion, because that's what Paul is basically saying to them. Notice it says in the first verse, or 17, it says, indeed you are called a Jew. Another translation says, you call yourselves a Jew. They were proud to be called Jews. In some senses, I think rightly so. God's chosen people, they should be proud for that. But the problem was they weren't keeping the very law that they were teaching. They weren't keeping the ways. And I believe for the church, that's the worst representative. We call it hypocrisy, right? If I tell you how to live, but then I don't live that way, that's hypocrisy. If I'm going to teach you how to live, if I'm going to encourage you to walk with the Lord, I certainly better be walking with the Lord. And if you're going to try and teach someone, you need to be applying those very same principles. As Paul says, you who teach the law, are you not teaching yourself? How many times do we get convicted? I know I do when I'm sharing something with a young man about a relationship with perhaps their spouse or their future spouse. Boy, I'm feeling, I better make sure I'm living this as I'm trying to teach this. And every now and again, the Lord gives you that little bit of a whisper, say, you're doing what I want you to do. People are seeing your life and they're seeing me in it. There's no better compliment than someone to say, you're walking with the Lord, aren't you? I can tell by the way you react. I can tell by the way you live. What a wonderful privilege it is to be able to know that we are walking what we believe. We're walking what the Word of God says. That is the greatest testimony. Forget our religion. Forget a list of do's and don'ts. Though the Bible does, right? List a bunch of do these things, don't do these things. Those are important. But if we're doing them with the wrong heart, then it becomes religion. The thing about Jesus is he always came from a point, a position of love when he was trying to transform someone. The only people he was hard against were what? The religious. Those that thought they were righteous. The Jews thought because they were given the law, because they were chosen by God, automatically they got to go to heaven. There's no automatics, my friends. The only automatic is you put your faith and trust in Christ, you're automatically going to heaven. But then the walk begins, doesn't it? Once we give our lives to Christ, it's his life that needs to be living in us and through us. So when people look at you, are they seeing Jesus? I'm going to tell you, sometimes people aren't seeing Jesus in me. I'm thankful there's not a microphone or a video camera in my car when I'm driving sometimes. I blow my witness a lot, and I have to ask for forgiveness. But aren't we all glad that there aren't cameras following it? Although these days, it seems like there's a camera always watching us, isn't there? Just so you know, there's a camera in that corner. Okay, no. Seeing you worship. But it's like God sees everything. God knows everything. Knows every intent of our heart. So God, help us to be a bold witness for you. Let us not be religious. Now, the Bible talks about in James. I want us to read this verse. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So religion from a biblical text is what? Helping other people. Pure and undefiled religion before God, because that's who we live before, is to visit and to be to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. I've always looked at this verse and said, what is this verse really telling me? It's telling me to help people that can't help themselves. The problem with the world today is they think the church is supposed to help those that can help themselves. Hey, I'm behind on my rent. Can the church help me out? Why are you behind on your rent? Well, this happened and that happened. I don't even want to give you that story. But the fact is, we're to be other-centered. True religion is living before God, wanting to help others. How did Jesus put it? The two greatest commandments are to do what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one, just like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Upon those two laws rest all the prophets, law and prophets. Upon those two commandments. In both of those commandments, what word do we repeat? The word love. Loving people helps us lose our religion. If I love my wife, if I love my friends, I want the best for them. God loves us unconditionally. He wants the best for me, and he wants the best for you. So he cares for us when we make a mistake. I'm so glad that when I sin, I don't get electrocuted. I don't get zapped, right? God is gracious. pure and undefiled religion is focusing on others and not self and not looking down at others. That's what we see here. Love is the root. He says also in verse 20, again, there's a long list of things that they were doing, but in verse 20 it says, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, look at this, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. They had the law, but they had a form of knowledge. They were saying, they were reading the law, and they were trying to put the law on others, but they were not willing to do it themselves. And this, to me, is the greatest danger in the church today, is that if our job is just to tell other people how to live and we live the way we want, no, it can't be that way. We have to walk our walk and walk our talk. The things that we say, the things that we instruct others, we need to be living that ourselves. They were proud of their religion. In fact, in 2 Timothy, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says this, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Anybody think we're in the last days? For men will be lovers of themselves. Sound familiar? Lovers of money. Sounds familiar? Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away, Paul says to Timothy. From such people turn away. We are living in a world that wants to live for themselves, not live for God. We're not going to be bogged down with religion if we're living for God, if we have such a strong relationship with God that we're listening to him and he's guiding and directing us. It's a person that has a heart before the Lord and said, Lord, guide and direct my steps. Lord, this day is your day. Tell me what to do. Show me what to do. Show me how to respond. I find that when we come to a day and we are so consumed with ourselves, God doesn't have a chance of getting in to speak to us. We're so concerned about our itinerary or the things that we need to accomplish. Are you giving God time to work in your life? Are you giving God the space to move? I had a friend many years ago who used to say that very same thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But then always give God room to do a work. If you're a doer, if you're one that gets things done, it's hard to give God space, isn't it? I can get it done faster, Lord. I can do it right now, God. I know you're busy. See, being patient and waiting on God can be difficult for us because we need to get these things done, right? You know people that like to have lists of things to do, right? My wife and I will be driving home from somewhere and she'll start the list. When we get home, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this. Okay, got it. Half mile later, when we get home, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this. Got it. Don't forget, when we get home, we're going to do this. I mean, she's like burning it into her mind. And I'm like, I got it the first time you told me. Yeah, not really. There you go. There you go. This is like the third week in a row you interrupt me. She's right. By the time I get home, I'm like, what was the first thing we were on the list? No. But people that like to do... We all can get in that mode. I do that on Mondays. I've got things I want to get done, and I don't give God room to work. I encourage you, give God that room. Yes, read your Bible. Yes, pray. Yes, do all the things but then stop and listen and see what God won't show you. Put it on your list if you have to. Do this, do that, listen for God. Do this, do that, listen for God. Teach yourself, train yourself to stop and to listen for the Lord. Keeps us from being religious. The Jews were proud of their religion. They were proud of that they had given the law. They were proud that they were called by God. They were proud that they knew the truth, that they had the truth, that they agreed with the truth, and they taught the truth. The problem with the Jews is they didn't live the truth. And that's what Paul is trying to get at. That's the heart of the issue, is you have all these things, but you're not honoring God in those things. And I think for a lot of us, we have to be careful that we don't dishonor God in our relationship to him. To truly make sure that we're not just checking off boxes. God doesn't need you checking off boxes. He needs you to walk in the Spirit and be listening to his voice. That's what he wants from us. Pride led them to an attitude of presumption, that they thought they were going to heaven because of the things God had given to them. And that is a scary place to be. Notice in verse 21, because of all those things he just read, he said, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal?" All of these things that they were telling others to do, they were not to do, they were doing. They weren't living the things that they were teaching. They thought they were following God, but they were dishonoring God by the way they were acting. God needs your movement more than he needs your words, more than he needs you to speak. He needs to see you moving according to what he wants you to do in your life. So be sensitive to those things. Who are you trusting in? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Even today, as 2021 just begins, are you saying, "Lord, I'm going to trust you with everything, with my relationships, with my work"? And there's so many things, so many prayer requests that we had at the end of 2020, of things that are going on in people's lives here at the church. I think we've gotten more prayer requests through our prayer, through our prayer email than ever before. There's so many needs out there. And Lord, help us to trust in you to meet all of these needs. Lose your religion, work on your relationship, and guess what? You'll walk on the path that God has for you. I promise you, if your relationship to God is strong and you're sensitive to his voice, and when you read his word, he speaks to you, you'll be doing just fine. You'll be doing just fine. Not only do we need to lose our religion, we need to forget our rituals. Look at verse 25. For the Jews, it was circumcision. Verse 25, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirement of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? See, Paul's dealing with the fact that they had this outward mark that was supposed to be an outward representation or outward display of an inward work in them. And he's like, if someone who's not circumcised keeps the law, aren't they doing better than you who are circumcised and you're not keeping the law? I used to have a pastor who said, listen, if you don't want to do the things that the Bible speaks of, then don't call yourself a Christian. If you want to live your life the way you want, don't call yourself a Christian. I used to think that was such a bold statement, but it is absolutely true. Better not to call yourself a Christian and just do what you want. That's a wrong representation of God. And that's what these are. You know, it's just like, I love verse 25. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. And I'm not saying as believers we need to keep a law. But as believers, there should be traits, characteristics, personalities about believers that the world can trust. The world should be able to trust us with the Word of God. We're supposed to be the ones that know it. So it's our job to understand what the Word of God says. We come to church not so that we can check off, okay, I did that on Sunday. God, are you happy with me? No, we come to church hopefully so that we hear the Word of God. It transpires and changes our hearts so that tomorrow we'll live a little differently. Maybe a little bit more godly. Isn't that the hope? Please don't be here because you think God's happy with you being here. Be here because you want to be here, right? All of these things, all of these rituals, again, circumcision was just God's way of saying, I'm marking my people because I want them to be different than the rest. I want them to be noticeably different. There were rabbis during the time Paul was writing this that said if you're a circumcised Jew, that Abraham would stand at the gate of hell, and if you came as a Jew and were circumcised, you'd immediately be able to go to heaven. That's what they would teach. I mean, it's like, that's what they believed because of this mark. Oh, what marks do we have? Christian fish on our cars, right? Maybe a cross, maybe a bracelet. All of these things that indicate who we are. But if all of those things don't display the fact that we're walking according to the truth of God's word, those things mean nothing. You're not going to get to heaven because you have a fish on your car. You're not going to go to heaven because you got more than one Bible at home. Right? None of those things matter unless you're living it. And that's why I love verse 25. It says, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But you're not keeping the law. And they were the ones that were supposed to teach the law. They're the ones that are supposed to help others understand the law. Instead, they were putting it over their necks like a yoke that they weren't even willing to bear. Not good. This was not what they needed. Circumcision was such an important thing to them. The outward act is only of value if you're keeping the truth. If inside, it's in your heart. And that's the point that Paul is getting at, is it's in your heart. Outward rituals must testify of an inward reality. I love doing water baptisms. Just think they're such a blessing. And anytime I baptize someone, I try to let them know, listen, there's no power in this water. I'm not going to dunk you and all of a sudden you're going to have a halo on the top of your head when you come up. But this is an outward expression of what's happening in your heart, in your life. When I baptize young kids, I want them to know that their relationship to God has nothing to do with this baptism. Their relationship to God has everything to do with trusting in Jesus, period. In obedience, we get water baptized, certainly. But it's an outward expression to let others know, I belong to Christ. That's the beautiful thing about it. So are we living that way? Are we living in such a way that others see our lives and see the difference? 1 Samuel 5:22 says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. You know, God doesn't need our sacrifices. I mean, maybe sometimes we get like that. Oh, Lord, don't you know how much I gave last week? Oh, Lord, don't you know how much money I gave at the end of 2020? Oh, Lord, don't you know how many times I served in the mission field? Listen, when we go to Haiti on missions trips, every single person on the team, I want to know that they've been called by God to go on this trip. Going to Haiti is not a vacation. Going to Haiti is serving the Lord, and that has to be a call. And it's not one of those things that we do as believers. I think it helps change and prepare our hearts for the reality of the world that we live in. Going on a mission trip is always a reality check. Every time I come back from a missions trip, I'm always like, Lord, how do I even complain with all the blessings that you've given to me when so many live with so much less? That doesn't get us there. We get to the heart of the issue in verse 28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. That's the point they were missing. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Notice, Paul goes from, okay, you have a religion, you got to lose that. You keep in a bunch of rituals and this outward thing, you got to forget that. What you have to really do is look at the reality of what a relationship to God really is. It's not the outward stuff. It's the inward things. God sees the heart. Right now, the Lord sees every single one of our hearts. For some of us, that's good. Oh, Lord, look at my heart. Search my heart, Lord. For others, we're like, please don't look at my heart. God sees. And he knows what's there. He knows what's real and he knows what's fake. He knows what you're just putting on a show. But he knows when you're really committed. God sees the heart. God knows the heart. It is a matter of the heart. For the Jew, it was something they thought about seeing. It was the outward, visual. It's never about the outward visual. It's always about what's going on in our hearts. It's also about those things that drive us. You know, God gives us the desires of our hearts. That doesn't mean he gives you what you want. I believe it's God giving you a desire for him, a desire for the things of God, a desire for his word, a desire for helping others come to know Christ. Plants those desires. So be asking God, place your desires in my heart, Lord. Please. Religion shields us from reality. But when we realize the reality of what God wants from us, and he wants your heart, and if God has your heart, if your heart is in the palm of God's hand, he will guide you and he will direct you to things and do with you things you never thought you would even do and be blessed by doing them. A relationship with God is not difficult, is not hard, it's a blessing, right? It's a blessing to have a relationship with God. It's scary to even think what my life would be like without the Lord. You ever thought about that? What it would be like without the Lord in your life? I hope it'd be different. I hope it would be a scary thing. Because that's what keeps us in our relationships with God. God looks at things differently than man does, doesn't he? Look at this verse again in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Samuel saw Jesse, Jesse's son Eliab, and this is what he said. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." The problem was Eliab was looking at the outside appearance. Eliab was looking at the man, the physical appearance, saying, "Surely this is the anointed of God." Listen, God doesn't care about the outward appearance. Doesn't care if you adorn it. Doesn't care if you take care of it. What he wants is your heart. And God says to Samuel, he says this in verse 7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" The only thing we can see as humans is the outward. That's the only thing we can see. And for many of us, we judge by the appearance, don't we? Can't we admit that? We judge by the appearance. We judge by what we see, the color of the skin, the quality of the clothes, the location that we live. We judge all that, and it's natural to do that. But under the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit, we can see people differently. Say, "God, help me to see someone who needs you that maybe doesn't look like me." Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? To be able to help people in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your school, wherever it is you are. Lord, show me people that you want to reach. Let's be open to that in 2021. Let's be open to the fact that we can, with God's help, we can help other people. We need God's help to know that. What does God see when he looks into your heart? I want us to think about that for a minute. When God looks, does he look at you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been committed to me. You've been serving me. You love me." That's more than anything. God wants us to love him. That's what God desires. He doesn't desire all these work things. All the work that we do for the Lord is extra. It's a benefit. It's a blessing to us as we serve the Lord. What the Lord would want is for you to just stop sitting in your favorite chair and just talk to him. That's what God really wants. That's enough. Because Jesus paid the price. Our salvation is secured in him. But there are still things to get done. That's the exciting thing, is Lord, speak to us so that we can make a difference. Let 2021 be our best year. Right? Let's all believe that 2021 could be our best year, because I think a lot of us think 2020 was our worst year. So let's make 2021 our best year. And let's be able to say, "Lord, look at my heart. because my heart is after you. Like David, he was a man after God's own heart. Let our hearts be after God's hearts. God's heart. And we're going to transition to our time of communion right now, because we do this every first Sunday of the month. But here's what I want us to do. I want us to consider what we've talked about. I want us to consider the areas of our lives where maybe we are relying on religion and the outward appearance. Or you know, rituals, the things that we just always do as believers. I want to live my life in such a way that, Lord, I want you to be in control. This is how I've been living my life. This is life. This is how I've been doing things. But Lord, I want you to do things your way this year. Let's ask him to do that. And then lastly, let's the reality of he wants our hearts. So maybe this morning as we partake of communion, we're just saying, Lord, I'm giving you my heart again today. I'm giving you my heart afresh this year. Have your way with it. So as the worship team comes forward, as the elements are passed out, spend that time just praying and talking to the Lord, singing if you'd like, as the Lord leads you. And then we'll partake together. Hold the elements in your hands. But spend this time remembering what Jesus has done for you.
Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. Come ye thirsty, come and welcome God's free bounty, glorify true belief and true repentance, and every grace that brings you nigh. I will rise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. And in the arms of my dear Savior, there are 10,000 charms. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost in ruin by the fall. And if you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. Savior, oh, there are 10,000 charms.
What a perfect song for our time this morning. The arms of Jesus open for elements in our hands. They represent the body of Christ that was broken. They represent the blood that was shed. And for those of us in this room that have surrendered our lives to Christ, they have true meaning. But if you haven't committed your life to Christ yet, they're simply a cracker and some juice. So the first step is to say, Father, I'm a sinner. I believe you sent Jesus as my Savior. And by my placing trust in him, I'll be a child of God, guaranteed of heaven. Because what Jesus has done, not what you've done. As those lyrics just said, we'd never come if we had to clean ourselves up first. Come to him so he can clean us up. So before you partake, if you haven't, that right now in your heart, pray that prayer, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I believe you are my Savior. I want to walk with you. And that prayer from the heart is what God sees. And in that moment you pray that prayer, God comes and dwells in your heart by the Holy Spirit, dwells in your life. You become a Christian. And then the elements that you hold in your hand become a representation of what Jesus did for you personally. And that's what I like to remember at communion. Times like this is that Jesus died on the cross for me. Yes, he died on the cross for the whole entire world, that any should come and receive grace and mercy. But it's also true he died for me, and he died for you personally. So as we remember what Jesus has done, we have to give him thanks. For that's the very thing he did. As he was with his disciples in the upper room. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. He's coming. He's coming. And he's coming quickly. We need to be ready. So let's be ready for the Lord. Let's give him thanks for the price that he paid. And let's live our lives out in 2021 for the Lord. Partake and give him thanks. Thank you, Lord. Father God, how grateful we are for your plan of salvation. How simple you made it for us to come to you, God. Simply surrendering our will for your will. Surrendering the perfect life of Christ for our imperfect life. And because of what Jesus did, you see us whole, forgiven, righteous. And for that, we give you thanks. I pray for everyone in this room that you would bless not only their day, that you would bless their year, that, Lord, we would see you do amazing and wonderful things in our midst. We make ourselves available to you. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. For your glory and for your honor, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.